You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As a part of a larger segment, we're going to be looking into how certain industries are being impacted by COVID-19, and particularly what advice experts might have to offer. This week, I'm looking into how the sex work industry is being impacted. Sex workers are in a particularly vulnerable situation at this time, as with many industries that are high contact, such as hairdressing or massage. Sex workers are also often the hardest hit in times of recession, which has prompted the New Zealand Prostitute Collective to encourage sex workers to reach out to WINS early. Dame Catherine Healy of the collective joined me to explain what more about why it's important to make these efforts early.
A lot of sex workers have no alternative income, and you know it's really important that they be channeled to WINS quickly, because our recollections of recessions is that sex workers are often the first to feel the pain, and this is, you know, a recession plus a perception, and you know, our knowledge that the transmission of this virus is about contact, and inevitably sex work is about contact for the most part. So, you know, like, sex workers are going to be impacted and are being impacted already. You know, people are saying, look, I've had nobody call since Thursday last week. So, you know, we know that our communities of sex workers are suffering.
Sex workers are very adept at mitigating kind of risks of infection and disease in regards to STDs. Is there really many ways that a sex worker might be able to protect themselves better against COVID-19?
Well, you know, there are very practical, nitty-gritty kind of things that we're discussing, you know, probably not totally suitable for BFM and people who might be commuting with their children in the car, but, you know, like, we are talking about strategies, you know, in terms of physical contact and ways in which you can avoid taking in the breath of somebody else, droplets, etc. Obviously, you know, if people have overt symptoms, we know, you know, and sex workers know to avoid, but, you know, some people are going to be asymptomatic, and sex work involves having lots of contacts with lots of people, and yeah, we're talking practical physical strategies to avoid, you know, the obvious one is no kissing, that's an obvious one. So, you know, if you must and do continue to remain in sex work and see a few clients, then there are some things that you could do. I mean, we're also talking up innovative ways, like if you are providing non-contact sexual services, such as things like voyeurism and peep shows could come into play, camcording, that kind of thing. But they're not great money earners, so, you know, that's going to be difficult for everyone. So, you know, we have a population too who are youngish, not always, but in the main the concentration of sex workers in terms of ages between 18 and 30. So they're a youngish population and they're deemed to be self-employed. So there are some people who may not be integrated into formal financial systems, like, and you know, like, they're just living in a cash-based way. They may not have bank accounts that are active. So, you know, it's cash in the wallet kind of scenarios, and we're very concerned about that lot. Yesterday we sat here and supported a sex worker who was a bit older and, you know, certainly was integrated and, you know, paid tax and, you know, had a company identity and all that kind of formal stuff that you need to take advantage of the government offerings. So, you know, she sat here and just, she didn't have the technical skills for the computer, but we were able to support her to get into that system. But, you know, the catchment of young sex workers who, you know, we're really worried. I mean, it's a time probably to look also for support from family if that's at all possible. But even that, you know, like people say, well, I don't, you know, I've been telling my family I've been doing A, B or C, not sex work. And so it's going to be, you know, it's kind of socially awkward for people. There's a lot of stigma associated with sex work. And for us to say, look, beta tractor wins, is because we know WINS, there's legislation for sex workers in terms of WINS, Department of Work and Income, support is granted to people who wish to quit sex work. That's enshrined in the legislation in the Prostitution Reform Act. You don't have to give any reason. You don't have to be sick. You just have to say, I have quit sex work. So that's a very important piece in the Prostitution Reform Act of 2003. And we hope that, you know, as sex workers come into contact with Department of Work and Income workers, that that piece of legislation is remembered by WINS staff.
Mm. In terms of that legislation, is it kind of like a permanent declaration that you're quitting?
It is, but, you know, like, just... It's not defined in terms of, you know, like you might quit. You have good reasons to stop. It doesn't mean to say that that has to be a permanent situation. I mean, if you want to stop, you stop. That support is there. It's not qualified by whether you stop permanently or not.
Mm. Now, you brought up before how... camming is kind of an option, and that was something I was quite curious about, because we see with a lot of industries at the minute they are turning towards the internet to try and mitigate the effects of people not being able to come into work. Could you tell us a bit more about that solution for sex workers?
Well, I don't think it's a great money earner, and I think it's going to be, you know, certainly very competitive, and it's scarcely utilised here by sex work. It's very rare to come across anyone who's involved in camming. So, you know, the body of knowledge isn't there really. There are some people who have had bitter experiences of camming. Their identities have been compromised. So there are, you know, there are pitfalls in relation to it for people who don't have a knowledge about ways in which to keep themselves safe. So it's not going to be an ideal solution for so many sex workers. If you're confined to home and you have privacy and your clients have privacy, then I think, and you have a bit of knowledge about protecting your identity, then yep, by all means, you know, accounts can be set up and so on. So, you know, you can get some money, but I don't think it's going to be easy for most sex workers to just switch from contact services to non-contact services.
In terms of the brothels or physical locations, do you know of any strategies these businesses are implementing to protect workers?
Well, you know, I've noticed a change in the conversation a week ago. People were saying, okay, business is fine. You know, in fact, I recall somebody saying, well, business, you know, has never been better. This was a week ago. This was just a casual kind of conversation. Now everyone is really serious and, you know, people are talking about business having dropped away a lot and are certainly picking up on our advice to talk to the workers about making alternative arrangements. So, you know, like there's this willingness, and I think it's a community vibe as well, like the willingness to cooperate and work together, and that's nice. You know, some operator said, look, I'll give another brothel operator a ring, because, I mean, like all services, you know, our organisation's getting stretched as well in terms of support, and so that community kind of response where people are picking up and saying, look, I can pass that info on to A, B or C brothel, you know, if you like. And so that's, you know, that sort of cooperation is fantastic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.